This episode is being brought to you by the Speak English with Tiffany Academy. If you are tired of trying to figure out what to study, if you want to get a better job but your English is holding you back, or if you feel stuck at the same English level and you don't know what to do, then the Academy is for you. When you join the Academy, you will get access to a 365-day English lesson plan created specifically for intermediate and advanced English learners. These 365 days of English lessons will cover English vocabulary, American culture, listening skills, fluency, idioms, expressions, and so much more. You will also be able to join a private community where you can practice what you learn with English learners from all around the world. So join today by going to www.speakenglishwithtiffanyacademy.com. Welcome to the Speak English with Tiffany podcast, a podcast especially created for intermediate and advanced English learners. In this podcast, you will hear natural English conversations, learn specific English tips and tricks, and also get to know many different ESL teachers. This podcast will take your English ability to the next level and help you to be more confident and more fluent when you speak in English. Are you ready? Well then, let's jump right in. Hey everyone, this is Teacher Tiffany, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Speak English with Tiffany podcast. Now, in today's episode, you are going to hear a conversation that Teacher Julie and I had all about emails. That's right. This week, we are focused on emails, and we want to help you learn how to speak English fluently about this topic. So I know that you are going to enjoy this episode. Now, before we jump into the episode, I want to remind you about the Weekly English Words membership. That's right, weeklyenglishwords.com. You see, each podcast episode includes tons of new vocabulary words, expressions, and idioms that are used by native English speakers. But you know, as an English learner, it's hard for you to know the correct meanings and how to use the words, expressions, and idioms properly. That's exactly why the Weekly English Words membership was created. As a member, after each podcast episode, you will find an entire section that includes video explanations for more than 25 words and expressions that were used during the episode. As a member, you will also be able to download a PDF that includes the definitions. When I say you won't find this anywhere else on the internet, trust me, I'm not lying. This is something you need if you want to truly speak English fluently and sound like a native English speaker. So again, you can go to www.weeklyenglishwords.com and start learning more today. Remember, the words and expressions will be heard in this episode, and you can learn more about them by going to weeklyenglishwords.com. Now, are you ready for this episode? Well then, let's jump right into today's episode. Hey, Julie, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thank you. Our topic for today, Julie, you know, we've been doing these conversations to help students, you know, speak fluently about various topics. Our topic for today is email. We're going to be talking about emails. And I think emails are something that we know a lot about. We get them on a regular basis. Do you get a lot of emails every week, Julie?
I do. I think I get too many emails every week. I think I have to unsubscribe from some things. Yes, I get plenty of emails. And I think you do as well.
I do get a lot of emails. You know, in the past, I had to close an account because I kept getting spam emails so much. It was like thousands and thousands. So I had to close the account. But yes, I also get a lot of emails on a regular basis. All right, so let me ask you this question then as we get started on the topic. How often do you send emails? We talked about, you know, getting emails, but how often do you send emails?
Nowadays, I send emails every day. I'd say pretty much every day, yeah. Yeah, every day because I work online. So
really?
I think, yes. So it's one of the main methods of communication for me. I also email a lot of things to my family, pictures, videos, and all of that. They like to have them on the computer, so I email files as well.
Okay.
I'm guessing you also send emails every day, right?
So ironic, let me think. Do I send emails? So I get so many emails every day. There are some days where I say, I'm not opening my inbox. I'm not looking at it because I get so many. But you know, in general, I send a lot of emails maybe to like new students who have joined like the academy, just saying hello, welcome to the family, or if they have questions. So yeah, I guess I do send a lot of emails. They're more like not cookie cutter, but they were like cookie cutter responses. Like, sure, this is what you have to do. Like, I have kind of a file that has responses, like templates. Yeah, so I have those responses. It's kind of the similar questions each day. So yeah, I send a lot of emails, but they're mainly easy to answer. Yeah. Well, do you have a lot of email accounts?
I have a few. Yeah. So
that's not a suspect.
I have a few. Yeah. No, I actually still have the first email account that I ever made.
Really?
Yeah. But you know, when you're a kid and your email address is something ridiculous, mine was just like my name, my birth date. So I just kept it. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. So I still have the first email account that I made. So I think I have two personal ones and then I have two work ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more. So I think I have like five at
one
the
five.
Moment.
The other one is a hidden one? It's a secret one?
Secret one.
Okay, gotcha.
No, it's just Gmail and Hotmail.
Okay.
It's just the same because Hotmail was giving me issues. Uh-huh. So I used to use Hotmail and then I made Gmail because it was easier.
Okay, yeah.
That's
Gmail
all.
Is easy. Yeah. I used to have Hotmail as well. And then for some reason, Hotmail just started acting up. So I had to get off of Hotmail. And I was like, what's wrong with Hotmail? I left them. And, you know, I have many email accounts, actually. I have my personal with Gmail. But then I have several business accounts, like, you know, my personal one, like getting to me, the teacher, like students want to email me directly. Mm-hmm. Then I have one like for admin. So I have various business accounts, maybe about 6 or 7. And then I have one personal account. So I have a lot of accounts, but the majority of them are for business. So
Yeah.
But they're useful. You know, they're useful. Do you have a specific email provider you use? I know we both mentioned Hotmail and Gmail, but do you have a preference?
I prefer Gmail because you can sign into like everything with your Gmail account and Gmail is connected to everything. And, When I first opened my email, my very first email address, it was Hotmail because in school we had to open an email account and I used Hotmail because the teacher said use Hotmail. So that was like the only provider that I knew. And then over the years, many people said, why do you use Hotmail? Why do you use Hotmail? And then eventually I made Gmail because like you said, it wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
So I prefer Gmail because I haven't had any issues with it. And it's also very well connected.
Yeah.
To everything, like Google is powerful. So I prefer Gmail. Yeah.
It is very powerful. It's like, you know, being connected is a blessing. And then it's also can be a curse at times. You're like, wait a minute, you know everything about me.
It's a bit scary.
It is like Google, you have, you know, Google, you have YouTube is connected to that. So I guess it's one of those things like, you're just like, okay, well, I still need it.
I have a question for you. You said it's a blessing and a curse, but do you actually read any of the privacy policies? Like, because it is a bit scary how I don't. I'm just asking.
I don't either.
If you okay.
That's why I laughed. I was like, no. I think it's one of those things like, you know, when you start reading them, like it is good to read a privacy policy. But it's one of those things, if you don't have a Gmail account, you basically can't get access to kind of like have your own YouTube channel. It's like it's inevitable. You have to have an account. So when you get into those kind of situations, like a catch-22 situation, you're like, okay, Well, I just know that my private information is exposed to whoever's looking at it. So I was like, what can you do? Just shake your head and keep moving. So I didn't have a Gmail account for a long time though. Even after I left Hotmail, I didn't have an account with Gmail because I had started a business a long time ago, even before Gmail got popular. Even before Gmail, was Gmail around when I was, I can't remember. But I had an email account that was connected to my website. So I was paying for web hosting services and that included my own email account. So I had an email address and I wasn't even thinking about Gmail. However, when I wanted to come onto YouTube, I realized I had to have a Gmail account. So I opened one and the rest is history. I mean, I love the connectivity and just, you know, it is what it is with the privacy.
Yeah. You just accept that you have no privacy.
It's accepted. Yeah. It is what it is. Well, do you, all right. So, you know, there's so many different forms of communication nowadays. When do you think an email is better than making a phone call? Because you can call somebody and say the same thing you could in an email, but when do you think an email might be better than a phone call?
I think that an email is better when you need a record of something, like for official communication and professional communication. Mm-hmm. Not only at work, but also like, let's say that you've ordered something online, okay, and there's a problem with it and you need a record of your complaint or a record of your request. I think an email is better in this case because like you talk to people on the phone, and especially if you're calling like a call center and you get lost, right? Like you call to follow up and then you have to tell your story again and so on and so on. So I think an email is better when you need to have an email thread and you need to be able to have a record of the information or the communication. But yeah, I don't love emailing personally, but I think that for those situations, it's necessary. What about you?
Yes, I agree. I was going to talk about the email thread as well. It helps you when you have to go back and kind of prove that either you did send something or that something was said, or even just to double check like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I remembered incorrectly. Let me go back and double check and see what was said. So I think it is very useful in professional situations, definitely. There are times too, like depending on situations, if you're having conversations with someone, even like in a friendship and you have an email, I like phone calls a lot more with friendships though. But sometimes in an email, you can also go back and say, okay, this person said this, this or that. And not in a bad way, like I have emails that I've received from friends and they were very sentimental. And like you read them again, you're like, man, like this person really is a great friend. So sometimes having the digital copy as opposed to a physical copy can also, you know, kind of reinforce the message. Or so I think professionally, definitely, I think emails help a lot. And depending on the content, I think emails can be better for even like friendships and other relationships too.
Yeah, I used to email my friends a lot more when we were younger. Like I was looking through my email address, my email account recently, and I saw all these emails from like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we used to, like, I don't think we had smartphones and we didn't have like unlimited phone plans and unlimited data and stuff. So like we used to email, and it is nice. Like it is nice, like you said, to go back and to see.
Like reminisce.
Yeah. It's nice.
It doesn't. I feel like a big smile came on your face. I don't know what the message was.
Yeah, it's like you completely forgot about like how stupid you were. But it is like, and we never used like capitalization or punctuation or anything. Right. I don't know. This is just ridiculous. Yeah.
Just running on and right on sentences. Yeah. So there are good memories. Okay, then what about, we're talking about memories and like writing, you know, back in the day. So do you prefer sending emails or writing letters? Because that's also been a huge change that we've seen over the past several years. People don't write letters as much. But do you prefer sending emails or writing letters?
I prefer writing letters. I am old school. I like writing letters and I like, you know, doodling on envelopes and things like that. So I really like writing letters. I still do that now. If it's a special occasion or a birthday or a celebration or someone's leaving, I write letters. Of course, for professional correspondence, emailing is better, but I personally prefer writing letters. I like the feel of the paper, yeah. And I'm artistic as well, so I really like letters. Yeah.
Yes. I agree. I like writing letters. If someone really means a lot to me, then I want to make more of an effort to show them, like, hey, I took the time to think about my words, to process them, to write them on this paper. And I also like, I've always been into like calligraphy or like different styles of writing and letter style. So I like writing pretty letters, basically. So I like writing letters to people that I really care about. I like writing actual letters, like even for my family, like for birthdays or anniversaries, I actually would choose to make a card instead of buying a card. First, I think $6 for a card is a lot of money. But I feel like I can make a card that's just as nice, if not nicer. And not that I'm not a cheapskate. Say again.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I can use this and it'll mean something more to them. So, and they always seem to like it even more when I actually create a card. So yes, when someone's very close to me, I do like writing letters as opposed to just sending an email. It just seems more personable. So I like doing, I like doing that. For my friends, no, I've done long cards.
I do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very, I think people like it still, no matter how
very heartfelt. It's heartfelt.
There you go. Yes, I agree. I was like, it's in there, it's in there. I had, you know, one of my friends, so quick story. So again, like I'm a very sentimental person. And one of my good friends, this is the friend that actually married my student. So I've mentioned her before. Her name is Angel. She may listen. She married my student. Like I introduced her to him and they're happy about their baby. They're happy. She's not necessarily the sentimental type. Sweet person, but like she doesn't necessarily express her emotions a lot. So, but I'm the opposite. So like, I'm like the letter writer or whatever. But before I came back to America, like I was leaving for good. And it was kind of like, everything was kind of like, she was realizing like, oh, wait a minute, you're not coming back for a long time. Like you're gonna be gone. Like we were together almost every weekend, hiking and spending time together, whatever. And she made this book for me of just like, you know, I'd known her for like 10 years and like pictures and trips we went on and memories and stuff. And I still have it, of course, but like it meant so much because she took the time to write everything, create things. So I think even though it wasn't an expensive gift, it's more valuable than a lot of the other gifts I have. So I think, it really makes a difference when somebody writes something.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really nice. I was like, oh.
No, I always it's much, much, much nicer to receive like a handwritten letter or a handmade gift for sure than an email. Like e-cards are convenient and sometimes they're funny, like they're cute, but I think like traditional cards, handwritten things are much better than electronic.
I agree. There's just something about getting something that somebody took the time to actually create. Well then, going back to email, I want to ask you this question as we get into security. What can happen if someone steals your email password?
A lot can happen. So if someone steals your email password, if you use the same password for a lot of things like I do, then they can also get into... They can also get into other personal accounts that you might have. No, I use different. I use different ones.
I was like, oh, Julie. They'd be like, let me look up Julie.
No. I use different ones. The sites alert me that I should use different ones and I change them up. No, I use different ones. But I used to always use the same ones when I was younger. I'm like, I don't need to make a new one. But you can lose your personal information. People can probably steal your identity depending on what is in your email. So, a lot can happen, can have some pretty detrimental consequences.
Very true. Yeah. For me, I think another thing is, you know, because email is used on a regular basis now, sometimes you send sensitive email, like information via email. And I think if someone gets your password, like for example, like my financial advisor, she may send me an email and say, hey, this email is secure, only you can see it, you know, and I'll send information to her back and forth that is secured. But if somebody gets my password, then they automatically get access to that quote unquote secured information. So it can get really serious very quickly if someone actually gets access to your password, because we really we put a lot of information in emails. So I think it can be dangerous. So protect your password, guys. Protect your password. all right, in your opinion, then speaking about like the security and like secure emails, what information should never be sent via email, in your opinion?
I think credit card information shouldn't be sent via email. I have had like places here in Dubai, like legitimate establishments, request credit card information by email. And
really?
Yeah, it's like for prepayments, and I didn't send it. But yeah, credit card information, for one, it's very easy to use that to make fraudulent purchases. So
Agreed. I think another one is your passport ID, like your ID. Like, I had to do it once and I was so apprehensive, but I was applying for this program in Korea, like this grad program. And part of the scholarship process was they needed my, they needed a copy of my passport, where there's no other way I could get it to them outside of email. And the guy was like, yeah, just go ahead and scan it and send it to me. And I was like,
Here it's a common practice.
It's common in Korea too. I was like, Americans don't, we don't do that. Okay, apparently Canadian either. I mean, I sent it to him because I had to get in the program, but yeah, it was a little bit odd. It was a little bit weird for me.
Yeah. The first time I had to do it, it was weird, but now it's like an everyday thing. Like, you just every day you're emailing your ID, because here your ID is connected to everything. So you need it for everything to have a phone, to rent a place, to get a job. So they need a copy of it. And yeah, it's common, but yes, I understand the feeling the first time you have to do it. It's strange.
It is. It's like, okay. But as soon as you step back onto North American soil though, you switch back. Nope. We're not emailed. It happens. Ooh, this is interesting. Have you ever written a love letter and emailed it to someone? If no, why not? Woo! Listen, guys, we are answering these questions to help you all learn how to speak about different topics fluently in English. Please understand that we are exposing ourselves and we're giving you guys personal information about us just so that you can learn how to speak fluently. So I'll let you go first, Julie.
How kind of you. How considerate. I know. I have written love letters or love emails to boyfriends in the past. If they were in another country or if they were away. If they are in the same place as me, then as I said before, I prefer handwritten notes, handwritten letters. But I must admit that, yes, I have done this, you know, when there was distance between us. So, yes.
Yes. I have also done this. Interestingly, though, it was a guy that we had broken up, but we were in the process of, I guess, getting back together or contemplating, like thinking about if we're going to get back together or not. We were doing it via email. So I can still remember, like, he sent me an email. I read it. Then you didn't get to take time to think about what you're going to say. I responded. And you're like, you're waiting for the email to pop up. You're looking at the time you sent it. At that time, I don't think I could tell that he read it or not. Like, I don't think that technology was available just yet. So it was like a long period of just waiting and waiting. And we're going back and forth, like, just talking about our feelings. So I do remember doing that. Honestly, though, Julie, I wish I still had those emails, because it's so interesting to read, I guess, the way you were thinking in the past, the conversations you had. Like, he's married now. Like, everything is fine. But, like, just to go back and kind of, you know, relive some of the things, or, like, think about, like, man, what was I thinking about when I was younger?
You know what? I want to ask you, was he in the same place as you? Like, he lived in the same city, or was he somewhere else?
He lived in a different state.
Okay.
But the thing is, we both had each other's number. That's the other interesting thing. We had each other's number, but for some reason we chose to do it via email. And I think it was because personally, I was able to reread things over again, and I'm sure he did as well. But yeah, I don't know why we chose email as opposed to phone call. It was kind of a,
awkward. But I think, no, it's weird, but I'm asking because it's, I was wondering if he was away and if that was the reason, like if he was somewhere else, but I think that it's something that people, I don't know if it's a Western thing or if it's a female thing or if it's a common thing or not, but I've also done like similar things where when you have to have like a serious conversation or a serious discussion, like you put it in writing so you can check it again. You can think like, but it's strange in the context of a relationship when you take a step back and you think about it. But I've done the same, like where I'm thinking like now if I'm outside of the situation and we're discussing it, I can, I think like, you know, maybe this conversation should be had face to face or on the phone, but I've also done the same thing. Like even now, like it's just via message or text instead of a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like you kind of have a chance to defend yourself, to protect yourself and to think a lot about what you're going to say before you say it. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's kind of like, we're going to talk about it eventually face to face if we have the opportunity, but just to make sure all the facts are on the table, all the facts are on the, I, maybe it is a, again, for the guys watching or listening, hey, if this is you too, it's okay. But maybe it is more of a female thing. Cause I'm thinking again, as you were talking about that, and I'm thinking about my friends that are married and some of the conversations they have with their husbands, a lot of them start via text messages. Like when we get home, we're going to talk about this, 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 and this, cause I felt this, this, like that. So maybe.
Like it's easier to, I guess it removes the pressure from that type of conversation if you can write it down, because in a conversation, like, especially if it's a, I don't know, a sensitive topic or a hard conversation to have, you can get interrupted. You can lose your train of thought. You can get nervous. You can forget what you wanted to say. Yeah. And I think like the element of being able to write it down, edit it, think about it, send it later, check it again is, is probably one. it's strange. But I do the same. I've done the same. So I just never thought about it till now, like till I heard someone else saying that.
Happened. Yeah. The editing part is funny because I'm like, everybody has that. You write it. Nope. Let me take that out. Let me go back and write that again. And that kind of leads to the next question. Have you ever pressed send on an email and then wished you had not?
I'm sure that I have. I'm sure that I have, not recently, but I told you that recently I was looking at old emails from my first email because I don't know why. I don't know. I think I actually accidentally sorted the date by first. Mm-hmm. You know how you can sort by like the most recent email or the first email? So I did that by accident. And then I was like, oh, and I started looking through them like because I had reversed the dates. And when I read them now years later, I wish I hadn't sent some of them, but in the moment, no, like even if I was angry, like, you know, you shouldn't send emails when you're angry at work or outside of work, but I did that when I was younger. So yes, there are emails that I've sent that I wish I hadn't sent, but it was like much later, I kind of thought about it and wish, like, you know, I wish I hadn't sent that. It wasn't that I instantly regretted sending it.
Got you.
Yeah.
For me, I'm trying to think. The most recent email that I regretted sending was, maybe it was like a year ago, but it was a friend of mine. We're fine now. Like we're still friends now, but there was a period of rockiness in our friendship because misunderstanding, but I emailed her instead of doing it over the phone. But I was trying to do, like you were saying, like trying to kind of put things out there so that when we talk, it's not this awkwardness, like we kind of know what we're each thinking. But now in hindsight, knowing her side of the story, actually we did have the conversation, is like that email actually caused more harm than good. So after sending it and thinking about it, and again, I wasn't, like if I get angry, I'm not like a yeller and stuff. Like I'm not gonna be like, you know, I'm not gonna call somebody out their name or whatever. I may like try to blow off steam, but I try to be very, you know, calculated with my words. But you can also say a lot with, what is it? You can be politically correct and still also hit a nerve. Do you know what I mean? Like you can hit a nerve even if you're speaking quote unquote politely. So thinking about the way that email was written, I wish I hadn't sent it because I didn't know what she was feeling. I was just thinking about how I was affected in the situation. So yeah, that was the only email, I think the most recent one that I wish I hadn't sent, but we're fine now, we're friends and everything. But as far as when I was dating, no. Whenever I get mad at my boyfriend, I just kind of said it out loud and I was like,
you know, no, yeah, no, I would write sometimes. I think that like when you were talking about your friend, I think like it was upsetting because you also have this rapport with your friend. And then when you switch your communication, like you normally talk face to face or on the phone and you switch to an email, it almost feels more formal. And then it feels like a little cold. I think it's just my opinion in general, because like, that's how I think I would feel if a close friend, like we had a conflict or an issue and a close friend started writing to me, because email for me is a little bit more of a formal way of communicating in general. When you switch the way that you normally talk to someone who's close, they feel like, okay, what's going on here? Like it takes them a second to sort of process. Why are you suddenly like, we, you know, we talk and we see each other all the time and then suddenly you're emailing me like.
Maybe now this friend, we didn't see each other.
Okay.
So it was mainly, but no. Your point is valid. It makes sense. With this friend, it was more, it was via like messages already, because we don't live in the same state.
Yes.
But what you're saying does make sense. There is something that happens with an email. You're right. There's something that happens where it goes from being like, hey girl, to, okay, so this is serious. I don't know what, like it's, so it does kind of have this transition to more formal. Another thing with email, I think that makes it tricky is, like words can be misconstrued and you can't hear somebody's tone. Like I know in your business, in the business course, for those who haven't heard about it, Essential English for Business course, you can go there. sorry, essentialenglishforbusiness.com. It's the tone is really tricky. Like for example, I think in some of our messages, I've told you how that like the more we get to know each other, the more I'm finding myself just kind of like just being more natural in like my messages to you or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, but people can misunderstand certain things if they don't know you well. Like for my friends, in the joking way, I'll say, I'll hurt you. But I'm really saying, oh, I miss you. Like, it's just interesting. Like, I haven't said that to you. Like, I'll tell my friends, like, don't get hurt. And I'm not going to hurt anybody. But like, it's kind of like a playful way of letting them like, hey, I do really miss you guys. But if someone just reads those words and they don't know you or don't know your tone, it can be misconstrued. And I think that happens a lot in emails. The messages are misconstrued because you can't hear the tone, you can't see the facial expression.
Yes. Yeah, this is something that I teach in the course, and it's a concept that's not the easiest thing to understand, especially for English learners, because a lot of times the focus is on the grammar and the content of the email, but the tone is like the feeling that your reader gets, right? Yeah. So like, if you want to show them that something is urgent, if you want to show that you are upset, if you want to show that you are excited, it's difficult to do without body language and without face-to-face communication. So yeah, getting like the right tone in an email is difficult. Yeah, it's hard.
It is. All right, well, how do you think email will change in the future? I mean, it's changed a lot, but I feel like it's kind of stayed the same for a while.
It has. It has changed. I think like, I don't remember when we were kids, like when we first got email addresses, I don't remember if you could send images and videos. Do you remember?
I don't think you could.
Okay. Okay. So I think basic like, it was just like really basic text. And then like, you could change the fonts and you could add colors and you could send attachments. So I think that the capabilities will continue to grow. Like I think that the size of files you can send and the types of files that you can send will probably increase, like based on how email started and where it is now. I've actually never thought about how email has changed or will change until this moment, but I guess that the capabilities will improve or increase.
I think I was going to say they may make email to feel more like instant messaging, but I'm like, well, you already have instant messaging, so they may not push that over. Honestly, I think that emails have gotten to a point where they're like at this foundation where they'll kind of stay basically the same. like you mentioned, they may increase like the file sizes that we can share with each other. But it kind of is like the phone. Like we all have cell phones, but the house phone in some houses still exists. Like it's still, the cordless phone is still there. Like it really hasn't changed that much over the past, what, 10 years. Maybe now it can say out loud who's calling you. But I think email is going to kind of be one of those things as well. Like kind of this constant or like a staple, like, hey, it's not going to really change too much, but it'll always be there. Like we'll always need it. So I think that's kind of going to be the case for the emails, in my opinion, I think. Yeah,
I don't think it'll change like too much more because the function of an email, like it's already instant, right? Like maybe the design will change, but I think the function, it's an email. It's an electronic mail. I don't know how much
what else do you want. Exactly. I agree. Good stuff. Well, wow, that actually turned into a longer conversation than I expected. We had a lot to say about emails. Well, students, I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Again, remember, you know, Julie and I, our goal is to help you guys speak fluently and confidently about various topics in English. So, Julie, I want to thank you again for joining. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you. All right. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you want to see video explanations for all of the words and expressions that were used in today's episode, all you have to do is join the weekly English Words membership by going to www.weeklyenglishwords.com. Once again, that's www.weeklyenglishwords.com. This has been Teacher Tiffany with the Speak English with Tiffany podcast. Until next time, remember to speak English.